Gina, where are you? Are you in your home studio? Are you in Sales Gravy studio?
This is my home studio.
She's such a liar. She's at Sales Gravy with her producers.
Oh my God. Oh, I just accidentally texted Jeb a picture of cake. He's going to wonder why I just did that.
Oh God. You need to be careful with that in case you text those other pictures.
Those are kept in a secret file. I'm careful with those pictures. Welcome. We are broadcasting while I am recording from the Sales Gravy Studios in Thompson, Georgia today. And you are looking quite lovely, Rachel, with your new background.
Oh, thank you. Which I learned to level up my background through Jeb's book, Virtual Selling. It's a good thing. Since so many people spend so much time on Zoom calls, it's important to have the right equipment. So check that out. And you guys, this episode is so great. It's all about selling from the heart. Mm. And we've got Larry Levine, and he's the best-selling author of, surprise, a book called Selling from the Heart, and co-host of a podcast called, wait for it, Selling from the Heart. He's got 30 years of in the field experience with B2B technology, and he knows what it takes to be a successful sales professional and to use your authentic self to do so. And he coaches sales professionals all over the world, from entrepreneurs, from millennials entering the sales force to seasoned sales reps. And he just has such great information for us. And I just can't wait for you guys to hear this because he has so much heart.
Oh my gosh, I love him. I heart him. I totally heart him. I think our listeners are going to heart him as well. We are talking about something that is not talked about enough in sales, and I'm just going to leave it there because that was really kind of his summary on this. So I'm super excited about this episode. And we didn't even get to further dive into when he talked about environment, how your environment affects you. Wait until you hear what kind of job his father had, because that was a little mind-blowing as well. So I totally love this episode with Larry. I can't wait to meet him in person at Outbound in Atlanta in June. We're going to wrangle him in for some shenanigans.
Yes. So if you haven't already gotten your ticket for the Outbound Conference in June of this year, then go to outboundconference.com and grab your ticket because they will sell out, Gina has said. And you can use our special code to save a buck or two, Warner's 100.
Warner's 100. That'll save you 100 buckaroos. Awesome. Well, sit back and enjoy this From the Heart episode with Larry Levine. Welcome to the show. We have an awesome guest today. Larry Levine is our guest. He's also a speaker at Sales Gravy's Outbound Conference this year. Larry and I have been friends on LinkedIn for a couple days now, maybe a couple weeks. I don't know.
We go way back.
Hey, Gina, stop stalking me.
I'm a stalker. Selling from the Heart is Larry's book. And we talked about Larry for a minute, Jeb Jr. and I, on the Sales Gravy podcast a little bit ago. And your name came up and then we got connected through Outbound. And we're like, let's get Larry on the show and talk to Larry. And then I was reading through your bio and there's a section in there where it says real, raw, relevant. I'm like, did he fucking steal our tagline? Like what?
No, you stole it. Hey, Gina and Rachel, you stole mine.
I mean,
now, let's all work together on this. We're all going to be together at Outbound. So I think we can just use similar phrasing, which just means we're in the right place together, right?
I think what it means is we are like, we're kinfolk. Like
kinfolk. That's right.
You are like us. You're like a woman your mother warned you about. I mean, right, Rachel? Wouldn't you consider Larry a woman your
mother
warned you
about? I would not consider Larry a woman your mother warned you about, but I'm curious, Larry. What comes to mind when you hear the phrase women your mother warned you about?
Oh boy. okay. So now we're going to go down this already.
Yes.
Hell yeah. We do it from the very beginning.
Hey, so I hear what you're saying, because I always tell people right before they meet my mom, please, right? Just, I'm warning you right now. See, I grew up with a Jewish neurotic mom. Mm,
that paints a pretty vivid picture out of the gate, doesn't
and
it?
And so overbearing, right? But I will tell you this, and I don't hold anything back on this. I'm a female trapped in a male's body. I'm going to tell you why.
Oh, this is getting sexier by the minute.
No. It's because my dad traveled a lot, because he was a rocket scientist for the United States government in the Air Force. So I grew up with my mom raising me with two sisters, and I grew up with all female cousins. So I loved crying, and I wear my emotions on my sleeves.
So you think that makes you a female?
No.
Okay, so I can't. You set this up, Larry.
That's fine. Hey, by the way, I don't hide anything. So I'm an open book. So okay, fire away.
So now I need to know about the things that hang in your closet and are stored in your drawers.
No. We draw the line. Gina, Rachel, help me out here.
Okay, so let's clarify. What Larry might be trying to say, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that you feel, because you grew up around a bunch of women, that you are in touch with that feminine side of your emotions. Is that correct?
Yes.
There we go.
And I wore my emotions on my sleeves in the sales world, and still to this day. Mm.
Which is perfect your segue. Book is called Selling from the Heart, right?
Oh my
right?
gosh, you and I are like twins.
We're like podcast partners.
We can almost like speak the same questions. None of this is scripted. Boom, segue. What a great segue to Selling from the Heart. So let's talk about that you're coming from your heart. You wear your emotions on your sleeve. We'll go kind of a little bit backwards. Tell us more about Selling from the Heart.
It was really born. I spent 28 years in the copier channel all in LA. So I sold copiers my whole life, probably one of the most dysfunctional, laggard, broken sales channels that ever existed, my opinion. And what made me different is I took how I was raised by my mom and how I was raised by my father, and I smashed it together. When I say I smashed it together, I didn't know it was selling from the heart back then until obviously as it came to the forefront in recent times. But one of the things that made me real unique is I took high raw emotions and I put some strategic process and non-negotiability around it. And I blended that together. In other words, I took care of my customers better than anybody, my opinion. I created experiences better than anyone, in my opinion. And I made it all about them, and it wasn't about me. And then the process and the strategy behind it was just making sure I dug in and I took care of my clients. And I always said this, is I wasn't the smartest salesperson out there. But I tell you what, I was the one who was going to outcare everybody and outlast everybody. And that's what I brought. You know, Rachel and Gina, we talked about it as far as wearing my emotions on my sleeves. I put heart and sincerity before everything else. I made people so comfortable with me that they would open up. And I always talk about secret sauce. I uncovered what my secret sauce was in sales a long time ago. And that was my heart and connecting to it and how I connected and related to other people. And what was really interesting is growing up with a dad who was a rocket scientist, right? Yeah. It's like me getting into sales was like, come on, like, what are you doing? Literally serious. I got into sales just to piss my dad off. But I carved a niche for myself. And the reason being is to prove to my dad that I can actually be a sales professional in a world where he hates salespeople still to this day.
Huh. There's so much to dive into this.
Rocket scientists.
You knew you wanted to be in sales at what point? Like, how old were you when you knew that?
When I couldn't, so I will tell you this. I fell into sales because I really had no choice. So when I went to college, I only went to college to appease my dad. You can kind of see where this is going. A little quick backstory. My dad both my parents are still alive, but my dad got a PhD in aeronautical physics from two Ivy League schools before he could legally drink alcohol.
Oh my God.
So kind of do the math on that. He graduates high school at 15 years old. And he graduates from two Ivy League schools with a PhD in aeronautical physics at 20.
No pressure there.
So guess what? The educational part of this fell like way, way, way beyond me. And I struggled through school. I mean, I think if I got a 2.0 in high school, I was lucky. And you remember that movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Yes. All right.
I will tell you this. I was Jeff Spicoli in high school.
Oh my gosh, I can see it.
And my mom covered up so much for me that I don't know if still to this day, my dad knows half the stuff I even pulled in high school. But I went to college just because I was the oldest and that's what I was told to do and so forth. And I actually wanted to be a pharmacist because my first couple jobs in school were working in a pharmacy, and I got kind of enamored by being a pharmacist, but I failed freshman chemistry in college. I go, man, if I'm failing right now, the likelihood of me ever becoming a pharmacist is like slim to none, and none was right. So the next best thing was I saw pharmaceutical sales reps walking into the pharmacy all the time. So I said, you know what? Why don't I just become a pharmaceutical sales rep? Because back in the 80s, that was the glam job. I saw the company card, nice suits, company, you know, expenses and all. I go, that's what I want to do. And that's kind of how I fell into sales.
So you saw the sexiness of it, of what sales can do for you.
Yeah. But then what I soon found out is that all that stuff was just covered for insecurities.
Oh. Have you been through therapy?
Yeah, I'm down to twice a week.
Okay.
Have you been listening?
Sounds like you definitely needed therapy. Rocket scientist dad.
You know what I tell you,
stereotypical.
We're very into therapy.
Totally.
Hey, you know what? There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with it.
Well, one really great thing about therapy is like, and actually, I think the last time Gina got into therapy, I was like, okay, I think you need to take your problems to a therapist. Cause like literally your friends can help you, but sometimes you need a professional to really help you sort out what's going on. Right. Like, and so you can go deep.
Well, no, can we play on what Rachel said for just a moment? Because this is, you're really keen in on something. This is why I believe in a core, the foundation of what we do at Selling from the Heart is I sincerely believe the inner work that you do fuels the outer success that you have. And why? It's because sales is tough, right? Yeah. It's the hardest, easiest job you will probably have in your life. But it wears on you. And a lot of times when we don't work on the inside, when I say the inside, that's the heart, our mind, our body. And if we mask it and run away from it, we will have inconsistencies throughout our sales career. And I always talk about this. I write about it in Selling from the Heart. Salespeople are consistently inconsistent. Mm. And we don't want to work on the inner part of who we are, whether that's self-reflection or self-awareness or actually going to speak to somebody about it. And we mask it because we don't think it's the cool thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I had to write that down. Consistently inconsistent.
100%. And I think you make a really great point, Larry, about salespeople and sometimes why we fail is objections and rejections and all those things that happen with salespeople. If you're not really secure in who you are, that can really hurt a lot. And I think it's like a vicious cycle that Jeb talks about in a lot of his books, and likely you do too, that, you know, you're like, yes, I'm going to make my prospecting calls. And then somebody gives you an objection or a rejection. And then you're like, oh no, I just suck. And then they, you know, you kind of slither back in your hole and then don't continue.
All it takes is one person to trigger some childhood baggage.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I didn't know these were going to be Dr. Phil and Oprah moments, but I really love this stuff because this is stuff we don't talk about in sales. And I'm bringing it to the forefront because I see it, whether you're an inexperienced, just starting out salesperson, or you're the most tenured enterprise sales professional out there. I see three things happening consistently with salespeople, and it plays out with what we're talking about. Is it comes to a confidence issue?
Yes, I was just going to say that.
It comes to a believability issue, and I'll even go one step farther, and I'll say, not only is it a believability issue, it's a believability in themselves and their messaging. And then a lot of them are lacking self-worth. So you take those three things, and if they mask that, then, again, I'm going to say it, right? And it's not to disrespect the sales world by no means, because I'm a sales geek at heart. But when we run away from those three things, and all we do is coach salespeople on skill set, prospecting, how to piece a deal together, objection handling, all important things in sales that I'm not discrediting. But, and that's a capital B-U-T, if those salespeople lack confidence, believability in themselves and their messaging, and they have low self-worth, what do you think happens to all the other training that happens?
Doesn't stick.
Because the inside of them is all whacked mm-hmm. out.
You really, like, before you even said it, I was like, oh, when he's done, I'm going to say this. I've seen this over and over again. I'm doing a lot of coaching one-on-one with salespeople right now.
Yeah.
And it keeps coming up every single time when we're working on their goals and their challenges. Confidence keeps coming up as the word. I don't have confidence. I've had people come to me and say, I want to work with you because you seem to have so much confidence. And I don't have that. And like, what happened? What happened that people don't have the confidence?
Well, I just don't think, a couple things. It goes back to, I'm a big believer. People are products of the environments they're raised in. If we just use that saying, but I'll go as far as saying that salespeople are products of the environments that they're raised in. So if salespeople are in sales teams, in corporations where that's not brought to the surface, it's hard for them to really understand this. That's why I'm a big believer in why I wrote Selling from the Heart the way I did, because I looked back on 28 years in sales and I really didn't have any sales leaders. I had more sales managers or dysfunctional sales managers than anything else. And there wasn't one time where we said, hey, you know what, guys and gals, we're going to spend the next week working on ourselves. And this is what it consists of. I never saw that happen. I never went to a workshop. A trainer never came in. I was never coached or guided to that. I did that on my own. And that's why I wrote the first three chapters of Selling from the Heart that says, hey, you got to do the tough stuff, and the tough stuff sitting inside you.
Mm-hmm. You know, I actually, to this point, I was scrolling on Instagram while I was eating lunch and saw a young woman who I really respect, and she's achieved some things that I'm going for in life on a personal level. And she had this big post about self-doubt and lack of confidence. And it's so interesting for someone, like sometimes we look at people who've achieved things that we want or sales mm-hmm. goals or what have you in life. And high achievers a lot of times have low self-confidence. And it's part of what drives it, because it's like, oh, I need to do something. I need to achieve something else. I need to achieve something mm-hmm. else. And yet it works against, because that dark side shows up for people that are super high achievers. Like for me too, people may be shocked to find out that I struggle big time with self-doubt all the time. And I do the work that you're talking about, Larry, that is challenging, like meeting yourself, your real self, just you and yourself can be some scary shit and eye-opening. But
I think it's healthy, because, you know, I always say this, you know, we all have baggage in the closet. We're all running away from something. Now, some of us, you know, come to grips with it sooner than others. But I had to learn this the hard way. You know, I came to grips with a lot of the personal baggage I have in my closet in writing Selling from the Heart and bringing Selling from the Heart out to the forefront. I started seeing it. I saw it firsthand. I saw the things that I ran away from my whole entire sales career come to the forefront in writing Selling from the Heart.
Writing a book will do that to you, Gina.
Stop it.
I'm trying to get Gina to finish her book. Larry, it's going to be a great book when she does it, when she finishes it.
It's coming. Now you're just starting to sound like Jeb.
That's right.
He's like, yeah, you could, Alpine, you could talk about that course. You still have
it. Hey, Rachel, do I sense some excuses happening?
I do. And I just put my second book on Amazon and texted that over to Gina and was like, I just put my second book up. Now,
you just wait till you're working at Sales Gravy. I got Jeff like, well, yeah, one day maybe you'll finish that course you said you were going to finish creating.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Coming.
Well, there's a saying, right? You can make excuses or you can have growth, but you can't have both.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it, Gina. You can pay me later.
Once again.
We just want your book to show up. It's going to be great. But Larry, you are correct. I have a little book and when I wrote it, I thought my first book was going to be a fitness book, like, here you go. It's your fitness book. It turned into this big catharsis and this whole like thing about take responsibility for your life. And it became way more. But the main thing was the personal growth that I had writing out some of those hard stories and figuring out myself. So,
well, I think my book is going to be even better because I've waited. Okay.
Go on. I'm sure.
But no, I'm a big believer that the personal growth we all achieve in sales fuels our professional growth. All the personal mm-hmm. growth that we do fuels our professional growth.
100%. And going back to, you said the confidence, the believability, and the self-worth. This is going back to that story. There was a moment in time. Well, first of all, Rachel and I almost broke up one time. And then there was another time early in this, in for the first season of the show. And we've been friends longer than that. But she's like, I think you need to go get some therapy. And I was like, this bitch. I said that it was my inside voice. I don't know. I think it's affecting the show. You need to go get some therapy. This bad marriage of yours, which is now done and over with. But back then, when I didn't talk about it, I'm like, fine, I'll go to therapy just to shut her up. So that I'm like, fine, I'm in therapy. Okay, all right, fine. And I get to therapy. And I've been to, I mean, I've been to it. I mean, I love it. But I went back. And I had been through four marriage counselors. You want to get into a whole Dr. Phil Oprah moment here. So the marriage counseling.
Do we need to lie on the virtual couch, right? Do you need a pillow and a blankie? Right.
But this goes, this supports everything we're talking about, right? And Jeb talks a lot about obstacle immunity. And I think this goes hand in hand with it. The first session, she's like, I know you come in with all this confidence and you think you're confident, but you have some self-worth issues. I'm like, what? I wanted to hit her. I'm like, what in the world are you talking about? And then she had me like reading some stuff. I was like, oh shit, I got self-worth issues. Right. And you sometimes you can't see it. And once I started digging into it deeper, I realized there just was like a lot of stuff that I never had healed or worked on, you know, that went back to my childhood that had impacted everything else going forward. And the second I actually started doing that work, look at like things just started, my whole world changed.
So what you're saying is I was right. Is that it?
What I'm saying, Rachel, is that you were right.
No, but I think, you know, we're talking about some serious stuff here because it's the stuff that happens in the past, I believe, prevents us from fully having those successful careers. You know, I'll share a quick story with you. I remember early on when I decided to do one-to-one coaching with salespeople, I was working with this gal, still am to this day. And all of a sudden it'd come up and it was really quick into our time together that she really, 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 really hated prospecting. And I go, it's interesting how successful you become by hating prospecting. Why? And we just started talking about it, you know, and this is what it really boiled down to. It wasn't being told no, it was uncomfortable talking to adult figures, especially males. And I go, interesting. Mm. So what happened in the past that's preventing you from doing this? Was it turns out she had lost her father when she was really, really young. And so she could never really relate to a father type figure, that adult person that's in the male role. So she just learned how to just, you know, shut it off. And then when she got into sales, she didn't know how to interact with that male figure, especially authoritative figure. A, if you're prospecting and calling in and a vast majority of them were males, isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. And we did, and I just said, hey, you know, time out. I can coach on all these other stuff, but we're going way too deep and you need some acronyms behind somebody's name to help you out with that. But it was interesting. Fast forward to today, she's working on it and she's flourishing in her career, but she had to go back and get to the root of some of this. And I think as we relate to sales, I mean, again, it's the hardest, easiest job we ever have, but it goes back to that confidence, all this stuff, right? Look back, take a tenured sales rep for a moment. And something could have happened early on in their sales career that scarred that person. Yes. And then they just kind of push it away and they push it in the closet, hopes that it goes away. Now look at them 15, 20 years later. And when you start digging in, it'll all go back. And that's the whole, that's some of our big mission at Selling from the Heart, is to really get to some of that. It's just getting to the heart of what matters. No pun on the book, but I see it all over the place with salespeople.
I do too. Every day. I had a client text me a couple of days ago that I'm coaching. And it was something like, I'm just having a bad day and I just needed some kind of kick in the butt because I'm just feeling off. And it's not like anything in particular happened. And I texted her back and I said, I would encourage you to sit down and think about what happened, because something did. Something has triggered you. I need you to sit down, write it down, and ask yourself why you're feeling that way. And then ask yourself it five more times and drill it down. And then ask why again. And then ask why again. And she's
so spot on.
She's like, it's that five why drill down exercise.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, well, that's a great idea. And then the next day I said, so what happened? She's like, oh my gosh, I uncovered so many things. Thank you. And you don't know what's bothering you, so you ignore it because you can't quite put your finger on it. And so as humans, as salespeople, you have to stop it. Even in the sales process, like, hey, what about this in the sales process is triggering me right now? Let me identify that before I go any further, right? That's that whole emotional control scenario. But you have to understand your own emotions.
Yeah, and it's... you know, I'm a big believer that what really helps us is how you start the morning. And I'm a massive believer, been like this for a long time in sales, still to this day, coach salespeople on it. Everybody who works with me, I coach them on this, is how do you capture the first hour of every morning determines what happens throughout that whole day.
You posted that on LinkedIn. That's how we fell in love with each other.
Yeah, it's, you know, my morning routines transform my whole entire life in what I do in the morning. Mm-hmm. And it stays at my desk. I keep it in a freaking notebook just like mm-hmm. this. And it's all tabbed out. Now I'm geeking out on you guys.
No, we love this stuff.
I write it down. I write down that? Every single morning.
What are those forms? So there's a,
this is part of my morning ritual. And this is the first hour of every morning. I write down my mission statement. I write down a value for the day. I write down three people or three things I'm grateful mm-hmm. for. I write down three things I'm looking forward to. I write down an inspirational quote every day. And then on the second side is then throughout the day, I have to work on one thing that's heart related, mind related, and energy related. And then I take it even one step farther. And this has completely transformed my whole life, is every single day I have to reach out to one family member, one friend, one client, one prospect, and one influencer, just to say, I appreciate you. And, you know, why do I say this is it's that personal transformation that fuels public success in sales. And it's getting heart-centered. Now, you know, it's so interesting because the question we ask all of our guests when they come on Selling from the Heart is we ask them, what does it mean to you to sell from the heart? And over the course of the last 4 years, I mean, we've heard, I mean, so many just great things. Well, just real recently, we had a guest, and this was only, as we're recording, this was only about 3 weeks ago. And this, we asked this person, well, what's it mean to you to sell from the heart? And it was a mic drop. He goes, I don't know. It depends on what's in your heart.
Ooh.
And if you're, and so, you know, where are we going with this? And why do we ask that is salespeople, we push away the soft emotional things because it's just too icky, sticky, mushy, gushy type stuff. However, if you really want to get to know somebody, their issues, their challenges, get centered with yourself and get to their heart. The faster you get to the heart, the faster they will start sharing with you exactly what's going on in their business, my opinion.
Well, let's segue and use that. So using that, how do you recommend applying that in a sales process or developing a relationship?
I mean, I hit it pretty head up. So there's two words that are near and dear to me, which tie into what you were just asking me, Gina. It's connect and relate. So the faster I can connect to somebody, the faster I can relate to somebody on some commonality, on some common ground, the faster I get them speaking about themselves around non-business things.
Yes.
The faster they start opening up. But here's what's interesting. I picked up on this a long, long, long time ago. I believe the first 5 minutes of any conversation, whether that's face-to-face, virtual, phone, you name it, right, is the most mission critical for salespeople. Now, normally, right, what's the first 5 minutes of most sales calls with most salespeople like?
Hi, how are you?
Right?
I want to tell you about what we have and how it's going to help your business. Mm-hmm.
And they already know it, right? Buyers are a lot smarter than most salespeople think they are. They've heard it all. They've been there, done that. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah.
So I'm a big believer in what happens if we slow this down for a little bit to actually speed it up. And it's not Rachel, the CFO, and Gina, the CEO. It's Rachel, the human, Gina, the human, Larry Levine, the human. Let's keep titles out of this.
Hey, Warners, thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you haven't already hopped over to iTunes to give us a review, please do so. Yes, I'm actually begging, because you know what? If you give us a review, it takes like 30 seconds. It really helps more people find what we have to say. And if you're listening to this right now, you think what we have to say is valuable. So let's spread the love. Give us a review. Please, pretty please. Now back to the show.
You know, and in the very beginning, before we started the show officially, right, we were just bullshitting around for 15 minutes. Like, are we ever going to start this show? And part of that was, this is just who Rachel and I are. This is how I am in a sales conversation. I don't talk business. I avoid it as long as possible in the beginning of a relationship, in the beginning of a sales process, because I want to spend time getting to know them and disarm them before I ever get into, are we going to do business together? Because I can actually figure it out in that, like you said, that first 5 minutes, whether or not they're even the right client.
Yep.
They could still be a great human, but maybe not the right client.
There is so much information that any salesperson has at their fingertips to learn something about Gina, to learn something about Rachel, to learn something about Larry. They just need to put forth the effort. And I always say, you know, if you can find three bits of information about somebody real quick, that they become talking points. I'll give you a case in point. So I live in Thousand Oaks, California. So I'm kind of sandwiched in between Santa Barbara and downtown LA. And I had a bank division president of a large bank start reading Selling from the Heart. We connected online and so forth. He asked me to connect. And before I shared anything back with him, I spent a few minutes on the guy's profile, put his name in a Google search, found out where he went to college, which happened to be up in Santa Barbara. And I shot a video message going back to him saying, "Go Gauchos. I love Santa Barbara County wine. I'm a California wine snob. Totally look forward to getting to know you." And it was a 30-second thank you. This guy sent me a message right back. He goes, "I never expected that. That was so cool." Coordinated a meeting, very first virtual meeting. We shot the crap for literally 15, 20 minutes. Never talked any business or anything. All we talked about is how I got back to him after he asked me to connect and relate. I connected to him. I related to him. I found a couple bits of information that he got excited about. Plus he said, "Hey, this guy did a little bit of homework."
That goes so far, and people don't seem to get it. And I could say it over and over again. Go look at someone's LinkedIn profile. Go find someone on Facebook. Go. There are places to find information, to find just one nugget. Even if you can't, maybe you're not, you can't relate to it. You can at least, what we say in improv comedy, call it back. You can call it back. And when you call it back, people are like, "Oh my gosh, she totally listened to me, or she totally knows about me. How does she know me?"
Here's where I think a lot of salespeople go wrong with this is they go, "Oh, that's too easy," right? Is they push all the easy stuff away and they chase the other things. The other things being the tactics and the tips, you know, "Hey, Gina and Rachel, tell me that quick tip that I can do to connect to blah, blah, blah."
Give
right?
me the silver bullet.
It's right here. It's simple stuff. It's basic stuff.
What?
Hey, can I tell you that ties into this? I got to tell you a quick story. Go. Just popped in my head. Can I tell you a story?
Yeah, we love stories.
Story time with Larry.
So this really helped me out early on in my sales career. So I'm happily married to my wife now, 29 years. And as we were dating, I'll give you the backstory on this. I'm going to use mother-in-law and father-in-law, but they weren't at the time just because, but you get the picture. So my mother-in-law's from Mississippi. My father-in-law's from Oklahoma. And if you rub them together, they may have a sixth grade education, but I love them dearly because that's just how they were raised at the time, right? They had to quit school and support the family and all that. So I'm dating my wife. And they knew it was getting serious. They knew that the question was going to get popped sooner or later. So now I'm taking everyone back like 30-ish some odd years ago. And so we're all sitting at the dinner table. And still to this day, my mother-in-law calls me boy with a Southern accent. Boy, right? She knows my name's Larry, but she goes, "Boy." Oh my God. Right? And so we're all sitting there at the dinner table. And they knew what was going to start happening pretty quick. I mean, everyone kind of sensed that the marriage question was going to happen and so forth. And my mother-in-law says, "Boy, I'm going to pass on some information to you that was passed on to me because I think this is the appropriate time to do it. I know you're getting serious with my daughter." And I was barely early on in my sales career. She goes, "I'm going to tell you something. My mom told me this. Told all my sisters and brothers this. Throughout life, don't half-ass anything. Do it 100%. She's telling me this as she knows I'm getting ready to ask her daughter to marry me. Don't ever half-ass anything. Do it 100%. Because if you can't do the little things right, you'll never be able to do the big things right. And that stuck in my head early on in my sales career. And between being raised the way I was and that, I said, you know what? I'm never going to overcomplicate sales. I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to double down on the basics. And I'm never going to half-ass my sales career. And that's the approach I've taken the whole time. It's the same approach as I brought selling from the heart to the forefront.
We love you. You know what I'm thinking, Rachel?
There's no telling.
So at Outbound, when we do this, whatever we're doing, talk show.
You know, it's funny that you meant Larry, that you mentioned
when he said Oprah.
An Oprah moment, because Gina texted me the other day and said, Jeb said that she's the Oprah of Outbound because we're doing our show live on.
I go to Jeb because I'm here in the sales gravy office this week. And I'm like, all right. So Outbound. I'm like, so what do you want Rachel and I doing for this live stream broadcast stuff? He's like, I don't know, figure it out. The two of you figure it out. You're the Oprah of Outbound. Just figure it out. I'm like, okay.
Oh, so is that why when I said Dr. Phil and Oprah, Rachel went, well,
yeah, yes. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, it was a funny moment because I'm like, well, I guess that makes you Oprah too, or Stedman. I don't know what it makes you, Rachel, but we're going to be doing, Rachel, if you have time later, you don't have to today, but since I'm here in the office, we're working on some planning for Outbound and what that's going to look like for us as the Women Your Mother Warned You About. But we will be interviewing people like during lunchtime. We're going to be like doing like a TV show, a panel of experts. And I think it would be super cool for you to be part of that panel because I think this is such
an... All right, count me in. I'll do whatever you guys want me to do. I mean, gals.
This is such an...
Dudes.
This is such an important topic that, I mean, Rachel and I are totally on board with what you do, selling from the heart and everything that we've talked about in this episode. This is such an important piece, I think, that salespeople are missing. And I don't know, maybe it will become like a Dr. Phil show. I mean...
And I'm glad we're talking about it because it's near and dear to me, but it's things I see it all over the place. It's not just here in the United States, it's everywhere. And it's things in sales, what we're talking about, nobody wants to talk about. They just throw it away and they just hope that it goes away. But the more you keep it in the closet and the more you sweep it under the rug, the worse it gets. And I always said, if you want to become the best possible sales professional, you got to get in tune with your inner game. And if you don't, you're just masking it. And sooner or later, it's going to come back and bite you right in the butt.
Mm-hmm.
At the least opportune time.
I think the three of us might like have a whole new occupation by the time we get to end of Outbound.
And we've interviewed a lot of wonderful sales professionals on this show. And there is a common theme that shows up almost all the time that is, you got to care. You have to care about the people that you are trying to sell to and not just be all about the sale, but to literally care, because people can tell if you care, if you don't.
It's a sixth sense. People sense it, right? I say it's just, you got to just give a rip, right? And you can replace rip with something
else. You can't care about others if you don't care about yourself.
Amen on that one. Yeah. And it's just so easy because I always say, if you have a hard time connecting to yourself, if you have a hard time with that, mark my word, you're going to struggle truly connecting to your clients and your prospects. I mean, connecting. We're talking deep under the surface connecting, right? Not the surface level connect that most people connect at.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you feel the same way, Larry. Like, I truly care about my clients. Like, I truly care. And I know details about their personal lives. I mean, I know those things. I truly care. And I think that makes such a difference in the relationship.
And people sense it, right? They sense, are you just asking it because? Right. I mean, and, you know, call it what it is. I just call it being an empty suit. But there's just a ton of that going on. And especially what we've all experienced over the past year. If you're not bringing just genuine, real, caring, compassionate conversation to your clients and your prospects, you're just like all the other empty suits out there.
Yeah. We could go on and on with you forever, but it's time for us to wrap it up. And we have a couple more things to ask you before we wrap it up. And
I'm afraid now.
Don't be. It's okay.
It won't be painful. It won't hurt. We promise not to hurt you. Before we do that, though, a couple things. So if people want to reach out to you, know more about you, know more about Selling from the Heart, what is the best way to do that?
They can go to sellingfromtheheart.net. You can find the book on Amazon in audio, Kindle, paperback format. You can find me all over LinkedIn.
Yes, you can.
It's to me, it's a platform where you educate, engage, and excite people into conversations. I love doing that.
See that, Rachel?
I'm all about building community.
I don't know if you remember this. You nicknamed me French Press Girl.
I did.
I love that.
I did.
That's part of my morning routine.
Yeah, because we were talking about morning routines, Rachel. And she goes, well, part of my morning routine is, I'm sorry, Gene, I forgot. But she goes, something around, because that's how long it takes for a French press. And I go, what? And then so I sent her a message back. You're French press girl now.
I am French press girl.
Morning routines are so crucial. So crucial.
I actually brought my French press with me on the road. Yeah, because it's part of my morning routine.
I've never had one. I've never had one. I'm a coffee junkie. God. I've never had a French press. I heard it's amazing.
You start drinking French press and you're like, oh my God. That's why I'm like, I'm just bringing it with me on this trip because every other coffee is terrible.
Good. Yeah. Hotel coffees. No bueno.
Okay. It's horrible. So one other thing before Rachel takes over and takes you for a little ride. Outbound. Outbound. What can we expect from you at Outbound? So those attending the Outbound conference, which, by the way, if you want to attend Outbound, we have a special promo code for you, which is Warners 100. So you can go to the Outbound conference and save some money with Warners 100. But what can people expect from you at Outbound?
We're going to talk about authenticity and how authenticity will help you grow your sales, grow yourself, and grow your relationships so you're not being viewed as an empty suit.
Love it. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. Yet another awesome reason to go to Outbound. So Rachel's got a couple more questions for you before we end the show.
It's going to be okay, Larry. First question. The first question is that it's the hardest.
Rachel, are these non-thinking questions?
They are thinking questions, and I believe in you, Larry. I believe in you.
He can do it.
Okay, Rachel.
So, Larry, how would you define the word sexy?
You're putting me...
Not the reaction we normally get.
Oh my gosh, you're going to need to use that video for promotion.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
I'm not. Do I look like I'm kidding you?
you're catching me in a speechless moment.
We ask everybody this question. Okay,
then I'm going to flip it on you. What are the responses you get?
Various and sundry.
No, we're not giving you, we're not. We want this to be authentic, Larry, coming like the first thing coming out of your gut or from your heart. Bring it from your heart, Larry.
You got me. I'm speechless. I'm totally speechless on this one.
Let's do this.
Hey, Gina, I want to snap a picture of your look.
What about your wife do you find sexy?
Her personality, her caring, her compassion. How she takes care of our children, how she listens, how she puts others before herself.
Oh, Rachel, that was a brilliant way to ask that question.
Hey, thanks for helping me out, Rachel.
My pleasure. Anytime.
That was a great way.
That was a good answer, and your wife will thank you for that. Make sure that you listen to it at dinner next time.
I'm gonna make sure she fast forwards. I'm gonna say, babe, you can blow past all of this, get to the, you'll give me the minute that I said that. I'd say, just listen to the last 30 seconds starting here.
Yeah, she might forgive you at dinner if you're listening to it, if it comes up that part. So next question, what's the best advice that you have ever been given?
Oh, I remember that one. It was probably right around my 40th, believe it or not, my 40th or 41st birthday when I made the personal investment in my very first business coach. And that business coach taught me morning routines and how to work on myself and how to work on the inner part of who I am. Best piece of it. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that investment and what I was taught then.
That's awesome.
Agree 100%.
We are big into coaching.
Oh yeah. And lastly, what is a piece of advice, Larry, that you wish you had been given?
I'm going to go back to almost the same thing I just shared with you. I wish that early on in my career, I would have been taught the power of investing in myself and the power in mentors and coaches and things like that. I think it's a huge missing link that I didn't learn till 15, 16 years into my sales career. I wish somebody would have told me that in my early 20s.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
100%.
And it's okay, right? A lot of people will look at it and say, you know what? Why are you talking to somebody, right? Just, you know, read books and listen to podcasts and all that. Well, that's fine. But I wish somebody in my early 20s would have pointed out my roadblocks and my flaws then, and instead of me trying to figure it out later on in life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've heard before that it's, you can't fix your fucked up brain with your own fucked up brain. Sometimes you need someone else's perspective.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is, over the last 4 or 5 months, I've become big fans of Pastor Craig Rochelle. In fact, Gina, you probably see me throwing some things out on social about it. And what's interesting is he has a book that's out right now that I'm just devouring called Winning the War in Your Mind. It's,
I think I saw you.
Yeah, it's right here.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I need that book.
For those that are watching this, it's Winning the War in Your Mind. Change your thinking, change your life. It has slapped me across the face a bunch of times, but there's a favorite, there's a saying that I'll quote and it plays out. And I wish this would have played out earlier on in my career. And he goes on to say this, he goes, what comes into our mind comes out in our life. What comes in our into our mind comes out in our life. And I wish somebody in my early 20s would have coached me on that, because, you know, another way that I look at it is the stories that play out in our mind that we mentally tell ourselves, we act those stories out, especially in sales. And if we're always just, you know, playing mental gymnastics with ourselves, it prevents us from so many things. And I wish, you know, I wish that book was around in, you know, the late 80s when I started my sales career. But I think if the biggest piece of advice I give young people today is go find a coach and a mentor, go find somebody that can help you, right, uncover the roadblocks or give you some advice and give you some things to work on to propel yourself in your career.
100%. And you have to interview the right coach for you. I know we at Sales Gravy have a lot of people inquiring about coaching, and I talk to a lot of people about coaching, and I know you coach, Rachel coaches.
I coach an unbelievable amount of people right now.
You know, find that coach for you and interview those people to find who is going to be the best in alignment for you. To help you be successful. I'm so happy that we've had you on the show today.
Oh, I love this. I had a blast. Thank you, ladies.
You are so welcome. So we are going to wrap up the show. Thank you, Warners, for listening to this episode of The Women Your Mother Warned You About, sponsored by Sales Gravy, which is also where I happen to work. You can find out more about Sales Gravy at salesgravy.com or check out salesgravy.university. And you can also find out more about this show at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com. And for Rachel,
you can, well, I mean, you can find out about me at womenyourmotherwarnedyouabout.com. And we would love it if you would share this episode with anyone that you think might find value. Sharing is caring. And also, if you thought it was great, please drop us a review. It helps us spread more love to more peeps.
Awesome. We got to go. Bye, Larry.
See ya.
Bye, Warners. We're out.
This really will get serious soon.
Yeah, I don't think. It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.